Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 29, and I'll start reading at verse 13. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, 'Who sees us? Who will know?' You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
The second reading is Matthew 12, verses 1 to 21. At that time, Jesus went through the cornfields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and started to pick some of the ears of corn and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to them, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed those who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one in I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you very much, Lynn and Caroline. Let me lead us in prayer as we come to think about God's word together. Father in heaven, we pray that your spirit would be at work in us right now, helping us understand these words, lifting our eyes to the Lord Jesus, that our lives and our hearts might be shaped by what you say. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." That's the call that Jesus makes, that we've been thinking about over the past couple of weeks, now All Age last week and the week before as well. What a wonderful, amazing, gracious offer the Lord Jesus makes. Come and be a part of God's kingdom. Come simply by coming to me. Come to me and follow me. There's nothing else that you need to do. You simply need to turn and come. But we struggle to accept Jesus' offer. We struggle to listen to Jesus' call because we are so used to having value and worth in what we do. Let me give you an example. Katrina was having a lovely long chat with her granny the other day. She got to see her at her great aunt Sheila's funeral. And Katrina's granny's in her mid-90s now. And one really sad thing came out of the conversation. I was really moved by it. Katrina was saying how her granny was communicating how she just feels a bit useless, really, because she can't do all the things that she used to be able to do. She has a live-in carer and needs most things doing for her. Here is a woman made in the image of God, and yet she feels useless. She feels worthless, not of value, because she can't do anything anymore. Well, how much this thinking kind of is ingrained in our society and even ingrained in us, whether we're a Christian or not. And as the Pharisees interact with Jesus in our passage from Matthew this morning, we see just how bad and ugly it is when this thinking affects our relationship with God, when we think that what we do is all that matters to God. So we're going to first of all look at verses 1 to 8 and think about how Jesus is greater. There's a problem in Isaiah's day. We had that reading from the prophet Isaiah. And it was the same problem that was there in Jesus' day. This focus on the outward, focus on what people could do, focus on rule-keeping apart from relationship with God. They'd hollowed out true worship of God and were going through the motions. And yet they thought, by the fact that they were still blindly following all these rules, they were pleasing God. But God doesn't want people to go through the motions. God doesn't want blind following of rules. He wants a relationship. Yes, he wants our obedience, but he wants joyful obedience, walking in relationship with him. And one of the symptoms of this problem that we see in the Pharisees is they were quick to condemn others. And maybe that just gives us pause for thought for a sec. Maybe you find in yourself sometimes a judgmental or a harsh spirit. That may very well be that this kind of thinking is more deeply ingrained in us than we realize. Well, anyway, the Pharisees confront Jesus and his disciples in the cornfield. And they say, hey, teacher, what are you doing? Why are you letting your disciples do work on the Sabbath? What were they doing? They were walking through the fields and just plucking a few grains of corn and crushing them and munching on them. No, no, you can't do that. That's work. You shouldn't do that. It's a Sabbath. Now, it's really hard for us to understand just what a big deal the Sabbath was for the Old Testament people of God and is for modern Orthodox Jews today. The Sabbath is a distinctive sign of God's people. Now, the nations around Israel had lots of things that Israel had. They had a land, they had temples, they had sacrifices. Sure, of a very different character to the ones that Israel had. But no one else had the Sabbath. No one else had one day in seven for rest, for enjoyment of God. And one, not just for free people, but also for slaves. Not just for people, but also for animals. It was a real distinctive of God's Old Testament people. And in fact, the prophets condemn God's people when they don't keep the Sabbath. It's one of the things that they regularly go, look, you're spitting in God's face by not keeping his Sabbath, not taking that day that he commanded you to. And then over time, laws and rules got added to what God said in the Old Testament because the rabbis, they were so concerned that people wouldn't break the Sabbath. There's a really good intention. They wanted people to avoid any chance of them overstepping the mark and breaking God's law of the Sabbath. But sadly, as these rules were added to rules, they became a massive burden. It's part of what Jesus talked about last time, when he said, come, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. All these rules that are added to God's law had become a terrible burden. It's like saying, okay, well, you can eat crisps on the Sabbath, but oh, no, you better not open the bag. That'd be work. It's that kind of detail in rules and in law. And Jesus wants to point out, no, you've got the law wrong. What Jesus' disciples were doing is was actually allowed by Deuteronomy. It wasn't stealing. You were allowed to kind of go through your neighbor's cornfield and pluck some corn. You couldn't like have a harvest and kind of nick off with it. But you could kind of pluck a few grains of corn and eat. That was fine. It was allowed. And Jesus says, look, you who pride yourselves on your deep knowledge of the Old Testament, on the deep knowledge of God's law, well, actually, you need to read it more closely. So he points them to a time when David and his companions went to the tabernacle where the priest was. And David got the priest to give them the consecrated bread, the bread that had been in the presence of the Lord that afterwards was for the priests to eat. And Jesus says, don't you remember that bit in the Old Testament? You know your Old Testament so well. Well, did anyone condemn David for that? No. No, they didn't. So surely that is far more important than just eating a few grains of corn on the Sabbath. That's allowed by Deuteronomy. Or how about this? What's happening right now? Okay, it's Sabbath day. It's Saturday day. Sabbath day. What's happening right now in the temple? Well, the priests, they're offering sacrifices, aren't they? They're profaning the Sabbath. They're working on the Sabbath, aren't they? Or maybe that was commanded by God. Jesus kind of outsmarts them at their own game. And he could just kind of leave it there. He could kind of walk on at this point. But no, Jesus is at pains that people get to see who he is. In the section of Matthew's gospel, we're seeing the revealing of Jesus being the king, being the greater one that all these things were pointing to. So see what Jesus says in verse 6. I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you'd known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Standing in front of them is one who is greater than great King David. Standing before them is one who is greater than the temple and the sacrifices and the priests, the one to whom all those things were pointing forwards to. Because here is the Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus isn't kind of claiming special pleading for his disciples that he can kind of, you know, fragrantly disregard what it says in God's law. No, Jesus is claiming to be the lawgiver, the one who rightly interprets the Sabbath law, the one who rightly interprets what God has said, and the one that the law is supposed to be leading them to in the first place. When Jesus says, when he quotes from Hosea and says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's talking about how all along God wants relationship and not just a blind following of the rules, not just a blind obedience to what people think God says, but walking in relationship with him. And so Jesus says, come. He says, come to the Pharisees. He says, come to each of us this morning. Will you come to him for the relationship with God that you were made for? So why follow Jesus? Why come to Jesus? Why take his yoke upon you? Well, because he is the Lord who draws us into relationship with God, and he is the wise teacher, the right interpreter of God's law, who will teach us to live wisely. Jesus is greater. Secondly, Jesus is better. How are the Pharisees going to respond to Jesus' challenge and Jesus' invitation? Well, tragically, we see that they quickly stick with their own yoke rather than submit to Jesus. So round two, ding, ding. We're in the synagogue now, the Pharisees' home territory. It's a home game for them. And there sitting in the synagogue, there's a man with a crippled hand. Now, we guess he was probably quite poor. He probably had to beg because he couldn't work. Other people and other laborers. And what do the Pharisees see when they see this crippled man in the synagogue? Well, tragically, they don't see a person made in the image of God, full of dignity. They see an opportunity to attack Jesus and to catch him out. Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Oh, look, you know, I'm sure you've noticed there's a man here. What are you going to do, Jesus? You're going to heal him? Because for the Pharisees, the answer was no. Not allowed to go to the doctor on the Sabbath. No, that would be work. In their rules, no going to the doctor, unless it was life-threatening. But clearly for this man, it isn't. You could go to the doctor, you know, if you're kind of going to die. But other than that, no healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus wants to convict them of just how wrong this thinking, just how wrong these rules that they've added to God's good command of the Sabbath is. And so he says, look, okay, suppose that one of you has a sheep. You know, lots of you got sheep, okay? And your sheep falls into the ditch. Happens on the Sabbath. What are you going to do? What's anyone going to do? Well, of course, you're going to have mercy on this poor animal. You're not going to leave them there until the next day, and who knows what's going to happen to them. You're going to haul them out of the pit. Well, if you think it's okay to do good to your animals on the Sabbath, surely it's good to heal a man. Stretch out your hand. And the man stretches it out. And at Jesus' word, the hand is made completely whole, completely well and good again. Brilliant, what a miracle, what an amazing sign. Right, everyone in the synagogue jumps up and down, hooray, praises God. Well, what happens? Verse 14. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. This is what their going through the motions ultimately leads in. This is what their worship without relationship with God leads to. They want to kill the very one who offers them relationship with God, who offers rest for the weary. So why take Jesus' yoke? Why follow Jesus? Why submit our lives to him? He's not just the rightful Lord. He's not just the good teacher. But he courageously does good, no matter the cost to himself, no matter what his opponents say. The Pharisee's yoke is deathly, but Jesus is life-giving. Jesus is greater, Jesus is better, and finally, Jesus will never discard you. Jesus now withdraws from the synagogue, and he's not running away because you can see there's still a large crowd that are coming after him. The Pharisees could follow if they wanted to, but Jesus is just avoiding further confrontation. And in this huge crowd who are following him, well, he continues to heal all who are ill, Matthew says. He emphasizes that every single one who comes to Jesus gets healing. And then, surprisingly, Jesus said to the crowd, now don't tell anyone. That's the opposite of what you hear kind of from the pulpit, isn't it? You know, don't tell anyone about Jesus. Don't tell anyone about me. What's going on? Well, at this point in Jesus' mission, he doesn't just want a big following as some kind of celebrity healer. He's got far more to teach about God's kingdom. And he must go and die for sins and rise again. And then once that mission is complete, then he sends out his followers. He sends out us into all the world, to every nation, to tell people. And so as Jesus does these things, Matthew tells us he fulfills a beautiful prophecy from Isaiah. It's there starting in verse 18. Isaiah writes, Here's my servant whom I'm chosen, the one I love in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Jesus is this spirit-filled servant, this one who is beloved by God. He is the hope of all the nations, the one whose victory is unstoppable, and yet characterized by gentleness and patience and humility. Jesus is the very opposite of the brash celebrity or the politician who's always putting themselves forward, always putting themselves out on social media. He is the Lion of Judah, the one with all the power of God. And yet he is the gentle lamb who's come to die for his people. That Jesus is like this is such good news. It means that when we come to Jesus, he is never going to discard us. No matter how insignificant you are, no matter how messed up you are, no matter how broken you feel, no matter how worthless you feel, no matter what you can or can't do, Jesus is never going to tire of you. Your worth to Jesus is not in what you can do. Your worth to Jesus is not in what you have done. It's not in what you will do. Jesus says, I know just what you're like. I know better than you know yourself. I know that you don't meet God's standards. But that's why you need to come to me. I have come for you. I've come to call you. So come to me. Follow me. Take my yoke upon you. I'm sure we've all had experience of being rejected, of being ignored, of being passed over, of being ridiculed. Maybe because we're not clever enough, or we're not pretty enough, or we're not sporty enough, or we just haven't met the standard or made the grade, or whatever it is. Jesus doesn't treat us like that. Jesus will never treat us like that. He knows just what we're like. He knows how far we fall short. And that is why he has come. That's why he has come to call us, to bring us into God's kingdom. And so if you're watching along at home or listening along this morning and you don't yet follow Jesus, you're not yet a Christian, what's holding you back? Maybe you feel like you're not good enough for Jesus. Well, it's right, you're not. I'm not either. And so he says to you, come. Will you follow me? Will you submit your life to me? Today would be a great day to do that. You could just pray a simple prayer, asking Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior. And it's a prayer that he loves to answer. Well, for the rest of us who are following Jesus, who are Christians, well, how much we fall back into thinking that what we do is actually what really matters, that what we do gives us worth and value. We need to ditch our performance, however good or bad we think it is, and keep coming back to Jesus. We need to stop picking up other burdening, useless yokes that are just a heavy burden that will break us. We need to look into Jesus' face and see his beautiful character and come and keep finding rest from him. Keep learning from him and never turning away. Let me lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We praise you for this beautiful revelation of who he is. We pray that you'd give us faith to really believe that. That deep down, we would know that this is what your Son, this is what you are like. So that we would come to you and not run from you. And we pray this for Jesus' name's sake. Amen.